Tired of feeling defeated? Join us for a transformative journey through the book of John, where we unravel some easily accessible truths from the Bible that will empower you to navigate your spiritual path and embrace a hopeful perspective for the upcoming year. Well, welcome back to our world's biggest small group 7-day reset. We're in John chapter 3, and I'm Pastor Chad, and I'm here with my friend Kim Weir from Everyday God. And today we're going to focus on John chapter 3, looking through the lens of ramp. That's the word ramp, which is read, apply, meditate, and pray. And so we're going to just jump right into John chapter 3, and it's an incredible story in John chapter 3, where we begin with this story that we've heard many times, and it's building up really into a very famous verse that we see at football games, basketball games. It's quoted by people who don't even love Jesus, John 3:16. So we'll get there in a minute. But the story is about a religious leader named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and he is looking for Jesus to show him some sort of miraculous sign or evidence of what God is doing. And if you've been in the study, you'll know that as we've been working through John, we're only our third day in, we're going to continue to see John is very good at like continuing themes throughout the book. And one of the themes that we're going to continue to see over and over again is this idea of miraculous signs. We see it in verse 2. We're going to continue to see it throughout this verse. And then we're going to pick up on it in the later chapters as well. But we see this idea of miraculous signs. And Jesus tells Nicodemus this word that it's new to us as we read it. And it's going to be new to Nicodemus because it confuses him. But he says, you must be born again. Well, maybe it's not new to us because maybe in our modern Christian times, we use the word born again sometimes. But Nicodemus is confused by that idea of being born again. What does this mean to be born again? And Jesus goes on to say, you need to be born of water and of the Spirit. And I find that this is really interesting. We're gonna see these ideas again and again, but Jesus points out that you would be born of water and spirit, the water pointing to our physical birth, but then secondly, that we would have some sort of spiritual birth. And it's here in the midst of the text that we begin to be introduced to the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk on this in a little bit when we ask ourselves, how does this apply to God? But he's telling us that we're going to be needing some sort of connection to the spiritual aspect of life, not just the physical things. He goes on throughout the text, really brings us back again to this theme of light. We saw it in John chapter 1 as Jesus is the light and people love the darkness is what he says here in John chapter 3. And then again, we get another theme that we pick up on, which is John the Baptist. This person, John the Baptist, becomes a theme. And here in the text, it tells us that John the Baptist says his role is to see Jesus become greater and greater. As we continue to work through the text, we're going to continue to see various themes like this. And I just want to encourage you. I'm not reading a commentary along with this. I'm just reading the text. I'm taking time as I either listen, I read through my Bible. I like to circle things sometimes as I notice them because then I could see a pattern that God is using. And those were just a few things that I noticed in John chapter 3. Kim, did you notice anything else of what did you read or what did you hear from John chapter 3?
It's so fun because this is a chapter, a story that a lot of us know from Sunday school days or just even general. It's one of the more well-known episodes in Jesus's life where this Jewish Pharisee comes, a religious leader comes in the middle of the night or at night. We don't know. Maybe he just had a really long day. So it was only night before he could get there. I'm not going to spurn poor Nicodemus' character. But he comes and he wants to inquire of Jesus because he sees something different. And of course, we see that all through. It's like, oh, well, that's nothing new. Boy, people certain take up, you love him or hate him, but everybody takes notice of Jesus.
Yeah.
But a couple things. It's interesting to me that he comes, he calls him teacher, and he says, you're a teacher who's obviously from God because these miracles, I mean, who else is doing that? And he says, you couldn't do this if you weren't from God. It's interesting to me. And I think I see God do this a lot in my life. So Jesus says to him, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. I'm sorry. I didn't ask that. So like he's answering a question Nicodemus hasn't actually verbalized. And then I go back to what we just said in chapter two. The thing that stood out to me was he knows what's in a man. He had to know what was truly at the heart of Nicodemus coming. He's seeing these things. He's maybe feeling himself far from God. He knows there's more than what he's experiencing. He hasn't yet articulated it with his mouth. And yet Jesus says the very thing that's probably on his mind. You can't be born. You can't see the kingdom of God. I know that's what you want, Nicodemus, but you can't see the kingdom of God unless you've been born again. This idea of being born from heaven, a different source of being born. And so here's Nicodemus. I don't know what he thought he was going to get. So I just tried to put myself in Nicodemus's place. I'm coming to Jesus. You know, I'm a teacher. I am a Bible teacher. You know, so would my tendency to be Jesus, hey, can you show me more about what this verse means? You know, maybe he's pulling out the scroll of Isaiah saying, hey, I'm a teacher. You're obviously a good teacher. You're from God. And so maybe we could compare notes and you could give me, you know, some tips here. I'm just thinking through how I might have felt in his place. And yet Jesus doesn't give him more knowledge. He doesn't relate to him teacher to teacher. Nicodemus says, I'm a teacher. You're a teacher. But Jesus doesn't relate to him as a teacher. He says, you don't need more knowledge, Nicodemus, Kim. You don't need more religion, Nicodemus, Kim. You need one thing. You need something that can only come from heaven. You need something that will make you different than you are now. And of course, as you go through this, he gives the whole thing about being born of the Spirit and that kind of thing. But again, our goal in this 7-day challenge is to think about, Lord, what are you speaking to me about? I'm not, you know, giving an exegesis on this passage. I just want to see something in here, Lord, that you're speaking to me about. And I, as somebody who loves information and knowledge, Chad, I like more information. I don't really listen to music so much as I do news, and I like to study. And it was just Jesus reminding me, Kim, you don't need more knowledge. You don't need more information. You don't need more religion. You need more me. You need more me. You need what can only come from heaven. That's what's going to change your life. So as I read this, those were the things that surfaced that reminded me that the thing about Jesus, what do I want to learn about God from this passage, is he's the only one who can give transforming life impact. Wow. So those were the things that stood out to me from the read and from the apply. And then if I were to meditate on these things, the meditation would be, God, where am I seeking more knowledge to transform my life? Where am I substituting you for religion? You know, where, you know, those kinds of things are kind of the things that my mind wants to camp on and just think about.
I love that, Kim. And I too had a similar experience. And maybe if you're listening right now, you're experiencing that you've had maybe a dry spell in your Christian walk, or you're experiencing just a time of needing a jump start. And sometimes the jumpstart looks like, oh, I'm going to read this new book, or I'm going to do all these other things. And I agree with you, Kim, as I come to this and I see Nicodemus, this religious leader, looking for this magical thing, I think, that through more knowledge or more things that were going to change his life. But really, we find that Jesus comes to him and says, you must be born of the Spirit. Like, you need God's Spirit working in you. And he says in the text there that what does the Spirit do? The Spirit gives life. We're looking for life. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's just a matter of slowing down and recognizing, God, I need your Spirit. I am doing everything in my own power. I am thinking in my own power. I'm pursuing my family in my own power. I'm working this job in my own power, and I'm continuing, and I am tired. If you're starting out this year and you feel tired, maybe it's time, like Nicodemus, the call to just come to God's Spirit and allow him to speak into your life. Because that's what he says, right? In verse 6, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Like, we need God's Spirit to give us a spiritual life that maybe we haven't had ever or in quite a while.
Yeah. One of the things when it talks about, like, you don't need more of this, you don't need more of that. Basically, I'm just going to tell you what you need. I think for a lot of us, the next thing we would think about, or maybe for some, the first thing, certainly I could say that there was a time in my life that that's what I felt and I thought, which was, you know, what was his thing? You can't see the kingdom of God unless. So the desire, of course, for all of us, right, is to see the kingdom of God. And so what do we want to feel that? You can't see the kingdom of God unless I go to church more. Nope. Jesus just said, nope. I want to see the kingdom of God if I have more knowledge, or nope, that's not it either. But the other thing that I think we fill in the blank with, and I think John 3:16 rules that out. So we'll just go there because it is the most famous verse in the whole Bible, is I want to see the kingdom of God. So therefore I just need to do more good things, or be better, or be good, right? Yeah. It's back to that try hard exhaustion, not just in accomplishing things once we're in God's kingdom, but hey, I want to see the kingdom of God. Surely I have to be a better person, or I have to do better things, or I have to give more money. And what do all those have in common? They put me as the force to get into the kingdom. What did Jesus say? You have to be born again from above. It's got to be coming from someplace outside of you. It's got to come from outside of you. Oh my gosh, I can't see the kingdom of God unless something comes from outside of me. And that's where we get to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So, okay, who did the loving? God did the loving. It comes from outside of us. Who gave? It's God who gave. It comes from outside of us. What did he give? His only son, from outside of us. How do we not perish? By believing not from something within us, not believing I can be good enough, work hard enough, learn more, be more religious. How? By believing in the Son. And then where does the eternal life come from? Outside of us, from God. So I just love that that's the culmination, really, of sort of all these things that he's trying to communicate to Nicodemus, to me, Kim, you know, is you don't need X, Y, and Z to find the kingdom of God. You need Jesus. You need this thing that you can't conjure yourself. But look, God so loved you, put your name in there, that he gave you his only, one and only son, that if you will believe in him, you will not perish. You will have eternal life. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. So whoever believes in him is not condemned. And whoever does not believe stands condemned already. I just love that. I just love that all these things that I thought I needed, both before I trusted Jesus and after I trusted Jesus, are wiped off. Because what I really need is Jesus.
Yeah. And I want to build on that too, because we're in our section right now of apply. Like, what does the scripture say to us about God? And then how do we bring that into our own life? And like Kim said, that we would take the realization we don't need these other things from outside of ourselves. And then you come to the end of chapter 3, and there's this kind of this synopsis, and it teaches us a little bit more about Jesus. It says, in chapter 3, verse 33, it starts by mentioning that Jesus was sent by God, that he speaks God's word, that God gives him the Spirit without limits. And then it goes on that anyone who believes has eternal life, but that we would see Jesus as the source of all the things that we need in life, not just eternal life, but that he's the source of God's word, God's truth for us. And I don't know about you, Kim. We kind of mentioned this early on, but like, I'm like you. I love to read, and I love to fill my mind with all these things, but I don't need another book on, on having a good attitude. I don't need another book necessarily on my personality profile or the Enneagram or all these other things, but am I coming to Jesus to give me the knowledge about God that I need? Yeah. Like, do I turn right to God to fulfill that? He's the one who's sent by God, and he's the one who speaks God's word and has God's Spirit with no limit. Do I come to him with all of these things? Do I come to his word? Or am I always trying to fill my head with things outside of what Jesus has to say? When I recognize who he is, that he is all those things, it also then points me back to, what do I do with it? How do I apply it? I need to be seeking God. Which maybe then leads us into our time of meditation, Kim. Like, as we're really focusing on meditating on Jesus, ultimately, how do you come to God in those times of meditation?
Yeah, this for me is where, in this one, meditation and prayer, you know, the talking over with God, these things that I, you know, really become one and the same. Because for me, I don't know myself. It, again, one truth builds on another, right? I don't know myself, and I want to know how to fully experience the kingdom of God, not when I get to eternal life, but he says the kingdom of God is for here and now. It is the rule. What is the kingdom of God? It is the rule of God over my life now. Mm. And the rule of God will always be a rule of blessing, kindness, generosity, purpose, not lack of suffering. That's not guaranteed. But how do I experience it now? The kingdom of God is now. I'm like Nicodemus. I want to see it now. And so meditating on where am I not seeing the kingdom of God?
Yeah.
And Lord, if I'm not seeing the kingdom of God there, what is it that I'm trying to replace as opposed to the things that come from heaven, from you as the source, from your son as the source? So the meditating and the praying to me, and it will be probably for you too, as you go through these, there's not, it's not like there's a right way and a wrong way to encounter mm-hmm. God's word. A framework is just a helpful way to get you started. And so to that measure where the framework is helpful, embrace it, use it. But where it breaks down, you have freedom, right? And so for me, the meditate and the pray, talking with God, where am I not seeing the kingdom of God? Why am I not seeing it? God, what do I need to let go of? How can I run toward you as my source so that I can see and experience the kingdom of God that you've promised me through your son, Jesus?
And you make it a good point, Kim. And if you're doing this on our world's biggest small group site, take some time to share in the notes at the bottom, share in the comments, leave comments. And that's the point of it being a world's biggest small group, is that we could share what God is putting on our hearts. And we learn from those comments as we read other people's comments. So maybe you've just been working through this, and now on day three, you're like, I didn't even know there was a comment section. Go look for it and read the comments and share the comments, because that's where we can also grow, is that those around us, what they're praying for, what God is showing them, we grow through those things as well, because that's how God's spirit works. Thank you for taking the time today on day three of our world's biggest small group 7-day reset. We look forward tomorrow to jumping into day four in John chapter 4. Thanks and God bless. Don't miss out on more opportunities like this to rekindle your faith and find inspiration in the world's biggest small group's latest study. Text the word GROW, G-R-O-W, to 67101 to find out more.